Welcome to episode number 230 of the live show. That is, of course, of Lethal Mullet. Come to you live here from the Facebook page at The Lethal Mullet. That is, of course, facebook.com/The Lethal Mullet. Here, I'm your host, Adam O'Brien, here to look at a great one. One that I really enjoyed watching when it first came out. And obviously, it's spurned a number of interesting sequels. And it's been a real platform for Keanu Reeves and the rejuvenation, if you like, of his career at this point. You know, he's 50 plus and he's been doing some really interesting work of late, and obviously too, some great looks back into his career with, of course, a Bill and Ted film as well. But Keanu Reeves has always been an interesting actor, and one I've had the luck of meeting and watching his band Dogstar, which we'll talk a little bit about later. And that was back in the 90s when he was doing, of course, the Matrix films. But tonight we're going to be looking at the first of those movies, which is, of course, John Wick. Interesting idea. It's kind of a Charlie Bronson-like structure of a film, a revenge flick. You know, that sort of title has been done a number of times, and we will delve into what makes definitely this one different. And, of course, the characters, the universe, which has now obviously got three sequels. The most recent one, John Wick 4, is been out in the cinemas, and he just seems to keep coming back from death. And they're even talking about a fifth movie, which is coming up soon. I mean, you can't have it without the title character, can you? I mean, as it just goes without saying. So we'll be looking at that tonight. I'll look at it, of course, Keanu Reeves in his career as well. But the big thing is just celebrating this new franchise, which is also now with some of the creators like Chad Stahelski, moving on from this, in fact, this project into the Highlander franchise, which, of course, we cover here with, of course, Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel and, of course, Kyle Wagner on FPN. More about that a little bit later, but for now, here's the mulleted one. I am Adam O'Brien, of course, here at Quinlan's Cantina in the home, in the heart of the unit, where we feed in the cantina itself, of course. Filming question is John Davick. Keanu Reeves at John Wick. Yes, we're going to be looking at this one. And I tell you what, I can't wait to talk about it. It's got a great cast. Obviously, great number of sequels. John Wick 2. We'll probably do an episode just on John Wick 2 as well. It's a great one. And I think, you know, it's a lot of diminishing returns when you get to something like John Wick 3, although it's great. I think the formula is what is kind of killing it by that stage, you know. He's the man that can't be killed, you know. There seems to be that in the name of Johns themselves, you know. You got John Matrix and John McClane, and there's a whole heap of Johns out there. I think, personally, if you had John Matrix around this, oh, man, you could do a John Wick movie or a John Matrix movie. Except if you kill John Matrix's dog, guess what? 30 minutes later, he's going to kill every single one of you. They went after him. He got, come on, where are you? That's it, come on. Where's Chaney? Come on. Yes, of course, you go after all of them. Arnold was just that kind of character as that John Matrix. And yes, we'll cover some of those a little bit later. One day, some more Arnold. You guys have asked for it. We will look at it at a number of times. All right, so before we get into too much of the show, let's have a look at first. So a little bit of feedback from you guys too. Of course, one of the ones being, of course, an episode we did, 229, which is the last one. They Live, obviously, huge science fiction classic. Obviously, it's got a lot of great look at society at large, you know. When it was, in a case of the 1980s, you know, the Reaganisms and all that sort of stuff back then, and of course, you've got a great wrestler leading it. With, of course, Roddy Piper, whatever you can call a great, late great wrestler, who, of course, did Frogtown as well. Great movie. But They Live is definitely one of the classics. And to be honest, it's right up there with the big three when it comes to John Carpenter. I mean, I love all John Carpenter's stuff. Maybe not Ghosts of Mars so much, but the other material is just brilliant. The Thing, Big Trouble in Little China, They Live, Vampires. Great series of flicks. But of course, it was one that has definitely resonated with a lot of you out there that are listeners and, of course, watchers of the show. You've always enjoyed John Carpenter's flicks. I mean, if you grew up in the 80s, John Carpenter was one of the big ones. It still is to this day. Those films just keep on kicking no matter what happens, I tell you. So big thanks to all of you that enjoyed that show. And we'll cover some Carpenter later. We've done quite a bit of it before. Obviously, we even covered that one back in the day. Back in, was it 2019? 2018, whenever Lethal Mullet kicked off on this here channel, the FPN, which we're about to tell you about right now. And of course, that is fpnet.podbean.com. That's right. That's where you find this show and many others like it on the audio format. That is, of course, celebrating the state of condition of being a fan of someone or something. fpnet.podbean.com. And, you know, obviously the back catalog is up there. We're no longer on, of course, the Lethal channel itself, which is attached to this. We are going straight into full fandom mode here. We're, of course, on the Fandom Podcast Network. So you can check it out, obviously, on this format. And no doubt, I'd say in the coming months, we'll have Kyle and Kevin want to put some of these video ones out on the other feed too. Of course, Lethal Mullet itself, at the Lethal Mullet on all socials. And we're starting to build that up a little bit too. I mean, I'm an old timer. I like to do a little bit of social media, but when it comes to celebrating action films and stuff like that, when you see these feeds, I'll always share some interesting articles, interesting stuff from, of course, back in the day, but also, you know, modern martial arts and action stars as well. So the founders of course, the channel, number one being, of course, Kevin the Raid Owner Reitzel, FBN co-founder and host of Bloody Kings, currently in Melbourne, Australia, with, of course, his lovely wife, Evan, or as we like to say here on the show, the couple is, of course, hashtag Kevrin. And, of course, Kevin has been a big pal and obviously long-time friend, not only in podcasting circles, but, of course, in, you know, fandom itself. No, Kevin since must be before 2015. It's been quite a while where he was actually on my own channel back in the day, doing Star Wars podcasting. And of course, now look at it, he's got this amazing channel, which really welcomes all kinds of fandom on the Fandom Podcast Network. It really is one of those great places you can enjoy Star Wars, you can enjoy Doctor Who, Star Trek, American football, if you're so inclined, if you like all those shoulder pads and looking like a Kiss Army supporter. Yes, I said it. That's right, because out here in the lovely world of rugby league, guess what? We don't. We just put up with all those tackles, all those being thrown on the head, sort of headlining moves that, of course, the front forwards do. Because why? Because we're made a bit tougher. That's right. Football out here is mano a mano. It is the ball and you, and, of course, the other team. And if you could do that, well, you're doing all right. But no, if you do like American football, you can also check out the End Zone, which is, of course, there. Look at American football. Yes, that funny football over there that you guys like to play, and you don't even pick up the bloody ball. Well, it's up to you guys, I guess. But, of course, on the other side of the United States, we have old mate. That's, of course, my dear old mate, good mate. That is, of course, Kyle Wagner, the other FPN co-founder, host, of course, Culture Clash. And many of the other shows on there too. Quite a character, of course. Kyle is somebody that's headlong into, of course, fandoms like Gundam and anime and, of course, Marvel. I mean, if you like your Marvel, folks, I'll tell you what, they've got so much on when it comes to their new shows, when it comes to Marvel. So go and check that out. They definitely keep up with all that sort of stuff. Not a lot of DC. No, they don't cover DC here. And maybe that's something that's an opportunity for them to do. But maybe when DC puts something out that's decent. This is true. So, of course, check them all out. Of course, fpnet.podbean.com, the Fandom Podcast. Well, it's celebrating the state or condition of being a fan of someone or something. Interesting. Okay, so what have I been up to? Well, to be honest, not a hell of a lot. It's been a busy time in the martial arts world and, of course, the work world. So I've been sort of currently looking at, of course, a lot of the great martial arts stuff that's streaming. I've been rewatching Warrior. I rewatched also a couple of great Chuck Norris flicks, one of them being Lone Wolf McQuade. And, you know, we may look back at that film. That's a classic spaghetti western style Chuck Norris flick. Interesting one in itself. Definitely looking at Firewalker soon, which is the weird one. And Louis Gossett Jr. and, of course, Chuck Norris. And where Louis Gossett Jr. is more like Chuck Norris than Chuck Norris. It was him the chance to break out of his characters. And it's a different one, folks. I hear it, folks. You guys want Hitman and a few of the others. No worries. We'll cover that down the line. There's always time for Chuck. We will definitely look at some Chuck down the line. And there's been also some call for a little bit more of the golden age of Seagal. So we may look at Out for Justice, which is definitely of that era. The most action-packed, but the most like him when it comes to, of course, the wanting to be a gangster. Yes, he wants to be an Italian gangster. Righto, Mr. Seagal. Alrighty. I got you, mate. But it is a good flick. It's not bad for what it is. Again, leading up to Under Siege, which we've covered a couple of weeks ago, folks. Hope you enjoyed. So, with that, too, we'll be looking at some great up-and-coming martial arts flicks, too. Scott Adkins on firing on all cylinders. If you follow my Facebook page, you'll see that I obviously share a lot of his greatness, because I want you all to check out, of course, the work of this amazing martial artist who just seems to be, you know, going from strength to strength. Obviously, he's got the great show on YouTube, if you haven't checked it out, Art of Action, where he's chatting to all these guys, you know. You've got that. You've got Cynthia Rothrock, who is doing her first flick that she's directing, producing, etc., called Black Creek. It's a Western, and he's got some big names in it. Bring back a lot of the stars of No Treat, No Surrender. Our own Richard Norton from Zendo Kai Karate. Yes, Bob Jones' best mate. And, of course, one of the founders of the style is going to be in that flick. Of course, he's done quite a bit of work with, of course, China O'Brien herself, the one, the only, Cynthia Rothrock. And I tell you, who defies age. Cynthia looks barely 30, and look at her. She's, you know, well, she's a little bit older. I'm saying politely that she is amazing for her age. And her physically, her amazing skill as a martial artist is still there. And, you know, it just shows that no matter what you do, the effort you put in, as whether you're in Kung Fu, Karate, Taekwondo, whatever style, Salat, whatever, it doesn't matter. What matters is the effort that you put in, and that you get all the body mechanics right and the spirits behind every move. You know, really getting that feel of what it is to really be involved in martial arts from the head on down right into it. And can't wait to see the material that they've got coming. I mean, Don the Dragon Wilson's in it, another one I've got a lot of time for. Lauren Avenon, I believe, is in it as well. And Olivier Grenier. Now, he's the real deal, folks. The old nemesis, you know, old Olivier Grenier. Yeah. You know who I'm talking about, of course. Fantastic French stylist, martial artist, kickboxer, and ex-serviceman as well in special forces, stuff like that too. Still is working in some capacity in those sorts of services. Private sector, if I remember right, too. So amazing martial artist, great kicker. I do believe one of my favorites he did in the martial arts world was Savate. Savate, of course, is French kickboxing. Worth checking out. I want to see Jean Reno do that, you know? Jean Reno, we all know Jean Reno, of course, from Lyon. Lyon, or the Z Professionnel, it was called out here. You know, I mean, he's a gun guy, you know, obviously, and all that sort of stuff. But fantastic actor. We kind of want to see him do martial arts, you know? Be like when, of course, Che Yun Fat did Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon as Li Mu Bai. And, of course, he hadn't done martial arts before, and technically he doesn't really do the unarmed stuff in it. You know, it'd take a lot of work for somebody that's never been involved in martial arts circles to really do that. However, when pick up the sword work, he's definitely got the sword forms down to a certain extent. He looks confident with it in that film. It's still a classic to this day. It's just, it's a shame that the second one went straight to streaming and really didn't. I mean, even though the film's not of the same quality, you've got to give it to Michelle Yeoh and, of course, Donnie Yen, who plays that, you know, the love interest that was sort of left and then it comes back, you know, in the second film and find out that he's not really dead. Oh, spoiler! Well, you've had time to watch the freaking movie. Come on. Come on. So there's some great ones out there, folks. Studying martial arts world right now too. I'm really trying to keep up everything from weapons training to obviously unarmed stuff, and really focusing on, of course, this hybrid martial art that I'm doing, of course, which centers around Shotokan Karate and Goju-Ryu, which is an interesting sort of connotation. You know, when you've got two styles, one coming from Japan, which is built around sports karate. I mean, that's what Shotokan was really designed to be. And then, of course, you've got Goju-Ryu, which is in a more traditional style, going back to Shojo Miyagi in Okinawa. And, of course, you know, it's more circular, the stances are slightly different, but to bring those together, this falls under GKR, Gokan-Ryu. But it's interesting to also see styles of my dear friends, like, of course, Sensei Andy Sloan out there. If you're out there, buddy, how are you? Who, of course, studies, of course, Ishin Ryu Karate Do. And there's just some great styles out there just like that that I believe, you know, need to be given not only the respect, but given the publicity enough to people get out there and actually enjoy these and give them a go. You know, there's some really great karate out there too. So with that, we are going to be moving into, of course, chatting about more about jiu-jitsu than anything. And of course, Keanu Reeves. Now, for all of you out there that, you know, have talked about this being one of the greats, and I know that, of course, Kevin the Raider Nerd Writes will be the first one to say, hey, man, you know, this is the franchise. You know, this is the big action spectacle. And it is. It's huge. But is it on the same ballpark as others? Well, we'll get into that today. And my thoughts on that being, of course, the action devotee that I am. Obviously, we've had John Wick, John Wick 2, and of course, John Wick 3 and John Wick Chapter 4, all the different chapters. And the first one came out in 2014. Number 2 came out 3 years later in 2017, Chapter 3, 2019. And it's been at least 4 years. And now we've got Chapter 4, directed by, of course, Chad Stahelski. And this one came out with, of course, Lionsgate Summit Entertainment and a few others. And it was created by Derek Kolstad. And even though Lionsgate own it, you know, they're really pushing franchises and stuff like that. Of course, The Continental and From the World of John Wick, which is, I do believe, currently in production, folks. And now, what did I know of this was just what I'd seen in the trailers when it first came out, you know, and it's interesting seeing Keanu Reeves sort of, you know, really depressed, obviously, in the trailer about he's lost his wife to terrible disease, then loses the dog that he gets from his wife as sort of compensation, if you like, for her death. After that, of course, then some Russian mafias types come in through, and of course, they not only steal his car, they kill his dog, and of course, reawaken the boogeyman. The original, and is, of course, John Wick. That's right. So, let's going to talk about, really, the creation of this franchise, but the main thing is talking about the first film, which is what we're celebrating tonight. So, it is a 2014 action thriller and, of course, martial arts film directed by Chad Stahelski and written by, of course, Derek Kolstad. It centers around John Wick, who's a legend and a hitman who is forced out of a retirement that he's had, and of course, part of that was meeting his wife at the time, and of course, trying to find peace, getting out of the game of the Continental. He's forced out of retirement to seek vengeance against exactly that, the mafia man who killed his puppy, which is a gift from his recently deceased wife. It's got a great cast, which we're going to go into very, very soon. Obviously, there's not a lot of plot when it comes down to it. It's a revenge movie, so it's more about building the characters that he's going to bump off. You know, that's part of what this is. I mean, that's the success of this first one, is that it does that well. The script itself that Kolstad put together has everything from revenge to neo-noir, action, adventure, and obviously too, there was a lot of martial arts involved in that ideal. Originally it was titled Scorn, and of course it's been gone through a number of producers, and that's when Reeves got into it, and he was going through a point after The Matrix where there was just not a lot of movies coming out that were either interesting or, you know, giving him the kind of bump that he needed to, you know, really be leading movies again. I mean, obviously he did The Watcher, the Matrix sequels at the time. He also did The Day the Earth Was Still as well, which I actually quite liked. It's not too bad. But he also directed his own movie, which we've covered here, because The Men of Tai Chi, which I actually think is a classic. It's perhaps even better than John Wick. Yes, folks, I'm saying that. You know, even though I do like it, you know, like it's one of those things. It's an interesting idea of what he was doing, you know, being the bad guy that was putting these fights together to really test, is Tai Chi real? And of course, he had Tiger Chen in it, who is one of the many stuntmen working on The Matrix at the time, too. Filming took place in 2013, and it had about a $20 to $30 million budget at the time. Obviously, it's made a ton of cash, and it's basically the cash cow now of Lionsgate's films. You know, they're able to really put out some great entertainment now, thanks to these sorts of things. And John Wick, obviously, spawning not only a TV show and a spin-off movie called The Ballerina. We've also got Chapter 2, Chapter 3, Parabellum, and John Wick, Chapter 4. So, you know, a great, great work. Directed by, of course, Chad Stahelski. Produced by Eva Longoria, David Leitch, Basil Iwanek, and, of course, Michael Witherell. The film stars Keanu Reeves, Michael Nyquist, Alfie Allen, Adrian Palicki, who I've met, and she's fantastic. She's actually a very funny lady. Bridget Moynihan, Dean Winters, Ian McShane from Deadwood, folks. That's right. Swearingen. John Leguizamo, one of my favourites there, folks. Willem Dafoe. The great Willem Dafoe, who I had the audacity to see outside the studio lot while I was waiting in a red light playing with a crossbow. That's right, back in about, God, was it 2009, 2010, thereabouts? Of course, he was filming a movie about vampires. Yeah, so there you go. So what's this plot about? Well, it's set in New York, and John Wick is grieving the death of his wife. And this is basically at a point where he has been a hitman for the mob and many other people, and he's the best of the best. He's the boogeyman. He's the one you send out after the bad guys, like the really, really bad guys, and they're all scared of him. You know, he's without a doubt a tough guy. So he has a morning routine where he goes out and, you know, takes his car out, does a bit of a spin on the track. And as he's filling up, a group of young Russian gangsters see the car. And, of course, Yosef Tarasov sees him and, of course, says, "Hey, John, that's a great car. Oh, what a fantastic car, mate. You know, how much of your car?" And it's a 1969 Boss 429 Mustang. Apparently a pretty good car. Although I think Mad Max's Interceptor might be a little bit better. What do you reckon? Anyway, but of course from here, you know, he's not giving the car over. So of course they follow him. Now, not only that, but they go to his house and they kill his dog, which is as we mentioned earlier in the preview of this, the dog is a present from his deceased wife to help, of course, with, you know, her death and of course him dealing with what's happened. From here, severely beaten, John Wick decides to, of course, enact what he needs to, which means digging up his weaponry, his suit, his John Wick persona, and going out just like Batman and dealing justice, except he's not afraid to kill. And kill he must, because it's part of his code. So, from here, Vigo, who runs it, of course, beats his son, and of course says, you know, you don't realize what you've done. You have stolen from John Wick, the Baba Yaga, who is the man of focus, commitment, and sheer will. And of course, this is, you know, the whole part is the fact that, you know, Vigo basically gave him this impossible task. And this task, when he succeeded, got his freedom from being an assassin. So it's a good sort of loophole, comes back to itself. And of course, Alfie Allen playing Joseph really, really plays it up. I mean, he's a piece of work, put it that way. So John can basically goes through his ear and he conceals all of his stuff in the basement. So he kicks up all this, throws it aside, gets his guns and goes to work. Pretty much the rest of this film is him taking out the entire Tarasov Russian syndicate. All the way up to, of course, Michael Nyquist's character, the late, great Michael Nyquist. Hopefully I'm saying that right. But respect to this actor who's just fantastic in everything he's done. Now, the film did $86 million on a budget of around about $20 to $30 million. So you can see why that it's really kicked off. And, of course, part of that is the unique style of action that's been used in this, which is, of course, not kickboxing, not karate. No. they've decided to do something a little bit different. You know, obviously the big thing since the Gracies came to America with, of course, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and just really put Jiu-Jitsu on the map, or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And of course, that is the cornerstone of what we see these guys doing. So we get to see fight scenes, which, you know, they have gun kata, if you like, or the gun jitsu, gun fu, of things like The Matrix and stuff like that, but a lot more realistic, very tactical training. I don't know, I would call it real, because, I mean, people just get shot. It's like knife fights, you know, like, hate to tell you, somebody who studied that stuff, you know, just run. Don't fight. Run. You know, you're going to get cut. You know, it's as simple as that. But when it comes to the grappling and stuff in this, it's interesting. The tangles, the disarms and stuff like that, all done really, really well. And of course, Chad and his team, and obviously all the martial artists behind this, do a fantastic job. We'll cover a little bit of that soon. But as somebody who used to teach grappling and enjoys seeing, you know, these arm locks, flips, throws, you know, groundwork, you know, kudos to this amazing franchise, which just really highlighted something that, you know, really wasn't in martial arts circles in the 80s and even before that. The judo in this in particular too is of note. Actually, there's probably more judo than there is jiu-jitsu. Anyway, so we get into that too soon. All right, the cast, Keanu Reeves as John Wick, the retired hitman. Keanu Reeves, obviously, as we mentioned, he was in a lull in this point of his career, but, you know, no matter what he does in this, he plays it cool. You know, he doesn't play it too hard, too low. You know, there's a real coolness to the character. And most of that is actually not even from Keanu. I think in this, Keanu's playing Keanu. You know, we all know Keanu's a nice guy and he's one of the most laid-back celebrities you're going to find. But what's great about it is his John Wick is written in such a way that the legend of John Wick is the character. Obviously, Michael Nyquist plays, of course, Viggo Tarasov. Obviously, he's one of the employers of John Wick of the past, and he runs the Russian syndicate, the crime boss. He's great in this. There's real compassion, but he knows what he's unlocked, or his son's unlocked on him, and he knows there's just no way out of it. He knows that, basically, Wick's going to kill them all. And, you know, he'd rather just kill his own son, to be honest, you know, for what's going on through too. Alfie Allen from Game of Thrones plays Yosef Darasov. Obviously, Viggo's arrogant, cocky, don't know nothing son, you know. He's more like a character from Game of Thrones, you know. I know nothing. You know who I'm talking about. But Alfie's great in this. He's pretty good. Adrian Palicki plays Mrs. Perkins, or Miss Perkins, who's a basically a hit woman in this, and she goes up against Wick, obviously, in it too. Adrian had been out in, 2014 or 2015 to the Supernovas out here in Australia, and I got to chat to her about, it was the G.I. Joe film she was doing at the time, and some of the work, and to do with fight scenes, and of course the Red Dawn reboot that they did, and she's really right up on the action stuff. She knew, and she, obviously she'd done a pilot for Wonder Woman before that too. Obviously she's gone on to amazing stuff since, but you know, don't let the pretty looks fool you. She is an ass kicker. You know, she can really get out there, and she's not only can act, but she can do the action stuff and, you know, looks convincing doing it. So I think in this, she did a really good job. And I think, you know, with Keanu, she's quite a tall girl, so she's right up on keeping him squared away when it comes to the action. She has a great fight scene in it too. Dean Winters plays Avi, who's Viggo's attorney in this. Now, Dean's interesting. I'd seen him in a couple of things on TV. I think he's his first big movie, this one. And I think he was on Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. And, you know, he's played sort of love interest to Sarah Connor, but also, you know, kind of a father figure to John. Now, out of all those crappy sequels to the Terminator, that TV show is actually pretty damn good. And Dean was one of the better parts of it. So kudos to Dean. Lance Reddick is, of course, Charon, and, of course, the hotel manager, the Continental's concierge. Lance, the late, great Lance, fantastic. Really plays that sort of role in such a way that he wants to help. You can tell, but of course he's pulled back due to, of course, the Continental's rules and, you know, what he's got to do for the hotel. Great role. We've got Toby Leonard Moore as Victor, a Russian gangster working with Yosef. We've also got Ian McShane as Winston, the owner of the Continental. Ian McShane, interesting guy, great actor from England. Obviously, we know him from Deadwood and many other things, but I remembered him from Babylon 5. Yeah, I do believe it's even the one where Martin Sheen plays a role in it as well. Great role. And what I think it too is great about it is that goes back to me seeing him in, back in the day, Space 1999. So, you know, there you go. There's a series to watch, and it looks fantastic on Blu-ray, especially the opening. If you're going to watch it, watch the first season at least, because, you know, GL was watching that. Yes, yes, GL, I know what you're up to. You were watching that one, matey. Yep. But, of course, he plays a role in that, and he's really fantastic in it too. But, of course, as Winston, you know, rules are rules, basically. John Leguizamo plays Arello, a mechanic who owns the chop shop, of course, where everyone goes to, and a good friend of John's. And he's the first one that tells Yosef, mate, what are you done? What are you doing? You just chopped up John Wick's car, you moron. What are you doing? And, of course, he did it. You know, what a maniac. John Leguizamo, fantastic. You know, one of the few that has copped a hit from Steven Seagal and not afraid to tell about it. And good on you, pal, for doing it too. No one gets cheap shots. No one should. Yeah. At the end of the day, it's a movie, for crying out loud. Not a bad movie, actually. And yeah, Seagal dies in that one too. But what's great about John Leguizamo is going back to the times of course, Carlito's Way. You know, then we've got Spawn. I mean, he played the clown in Spawn. He was fantastic in it. Stole the show. I mean, Michael Jai White did a fantastic job of Spawn, but that was even better. And of course, you get Excalibur's Merlin as his knight and herald to help him. You know, you gotta love it. You know, he's there as kind of like the Obi-Wan Kenobi of Spawn, if you like. Anyway, that's a different film. Willem Dafoe plays Marcus, a skilled sniper and Wick's old friend. Willem Dafoe, I mean, we know Willem Dafoe, we all know him. Platoon, the bomb's going off and everything. The big shot with the chopper come past. Willem Dafoe. I want an Academy Award. I mean, yeah, Willem, we know what you're doing, mate. You know, come on. No, you are fantastic. You're great. And, you know, little behold that I think his best bro was going toe-to-toe with Big Harry in Clear and Present Danger. You know, your Harry, you know, Harrison Ford. And of course, Willem Dafoe. Two actors, I think, that both have that same intensity. But Willem's able to push it a little bit further than Harry, you know. And Harrison just is Harrison, but Willem does crazy, and he does crazy good. And it's what makes it good. I mean, he does all the Marvel stuff, that Spider-Man stuff and all that junk. But he just does interesting stuff like Boondock Saints. You know, obviously Daybreakers, the one he did out here where I saw him at the side of the road just about, you know, shooting targets with a crossbow. And I'm like, the hell's Willem Dafoe doing at Movie World? You know, and he goes, hey, William. And he goes, it's Willem. Oh, you gotta love celebrities, don't you? But what a cast. I mean, this is just the first film. So this is an interesting, you know, process that this movie came through to get where it was. As far back as the 2000s, Derek the writer was trying to put this together. You know, and it's basically trying to do something that, you know, low budget thrillers did before, you know, and many times, and things like The Package and films like One in the Chamber, which, you know, this is, yeah, that's one which is a low budget action film and one that was done alongside, and in 2013, The Package, which basically it was a screenplay done by the same guy as well. And these were tones which are, you know, like very, you know, heading towards that sort of action thriller route. And but if you think about it, you go back to the 80s, there was ones with Gene Hackman, Tommy Lee Jones, and stuff like that. Similar, but more military-minded, I guess. I do believe that was called The Package too. But, you know, they were not huge budgeted films, you know. They were, you know, ones which were, you know, modest budgets, but they smashed it out. Now, Of course, Kolstad wrote this spec script, and of course, called Scorn. And the whole idea was to follow that sort of revenge flick route, which had been done how many times, you know, a thousand times. And, you know, it is what it is. It's exactly, basically, that Charlie Bronson feel, you know, and they had the idea of making it like a Clint Eastwood, Paul Newman-style character out of John Wick. So, you know, there's influences of things like Aliens, Predator, Die Hard, Westerns, the mafia films like Miller's Crossing, and many. And, of course, the actual, you know, characters are drawn from different inspirations as well. Buster Keaton, Harold Lloyd, Charlie Chaplin, and others. So, you know, these are all just influences. Doesn't mean it's going to make it into being the film that it is too. So with that, the casting was an interesting one too. The idea of getting, you know, somebody to wrap around the idea of Keanu Reeves being what it was. And so how do we take, you know, somebody who probably knows movie martial arts and make it more real? Because, I mean, again, this is movie martial arts, folks, but they wanted to do something that was a little bit more grounded, right? So this is where Keanu Reeves had to train in multiple styles to get ready. So he had to learn Filipino Arnis, which is basically Kali and Eskrima. If you follow my stuff, you know it's something I do. Japanese Jiu-Jitsu and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And, of course, a number of tactical firearms courses. So gun courses, if you like. These are the ones that are done with SWAT teams, Navy SEALs, all that sort of stuff. Stunt driving was a big part of it too, because this is something that is, you know, part of the character. The character is able to, you know, drive these Mustangs and, you know, big, huge American cars, which are all metal. I mean, it's a big chunk of car. And he's using it like a weapon, you know, and he does it well. I mean, that's part of what it is. Everything he touches becomes a weapon. He killed a guy with a freaking pencil. That's obviously part of the movie. So part of it too is, you know, really getting down to, you know, you got Bridget Moynihan playing, of course, the late Helen in this, which is, of course, his wife. And, you know, for the small role that she has, she's the center, or the center of, you know, John Wick's universe. That's how he thinks his relationship is, the memories he has of her, and it's what keeps him going. So with that too, the design of the film itself had a real visual style. It became really known as John Wick, you know, everything. So when you look back at it, it goes back to movies like Point Blank and 1967, which goes right back. But of course, there's things like the John Woo style, Kira Kurosawa as well. And there's a real, if anything, a bit of a Lee Marvin, Steve McQueen feel, maybe even a Sergio Leone spaghetti Western feel to it at times. But what's interesting, you know, I think his own action films, Keanu Reeves' own films like The Matrix, particularly the first one, is something that really factored in this too, along with things like Lethal Weapon, Armor of God, and others too. You know, Stahelski obviously worked on The Matrix movies, and you can see that, you know, there's obviously a bit of a resonance there somehow too. Obviously, the big thing of this is the stylish suits, the black outfits, the regal quality to it, modern art and stuff like that too, simplicity, elegance. It's kind of, I guess, a little bit like John Wick is almost like James Bond in some ways, you know. You've got that feel, that style that you can only say that is John Wick. The suits, I mean, everything's black. They're dull grays and blacks. There's no whites, and it's kept that way too. The firearms choices are very modern but classic at the same time, and that falls into the same line. Whereas in the muscle cars are probably the odd element, but they are still stylistic. The right word is stylistically important to the character. There you go. But really has that feel where everything comes together. This first film works. I think the greatest scenes are actually towards the end of the film, where we get to see not only him at his bottom, where he's, because you see it at the start of the film, that's kind of like coming back to a little bit like Payback, a little bit, Mel Gibson comes back around. But we definitely get to see that happening, and it's interesting. And then, of course, the fights alongside the car in the rain with, of course, Michael, with, of course, Viggo. It's great. It's fantastic. It gets a 5 out of 5 here. And, of course, the great Hallenbach scale here at the Lethal Mullet. And, yes, folks, we will be looking at the others because you've all asked for them. We'll look at John Wick 2 soon. I want to rewatch these, too, before I get into it and really enjoy what the characters and all that. John Wick 3, And even though I haven't seen it yet, John Wick 4 is currently streaming on Amazon Prime, so it is something I will be looking at very soon. Next episode, we're going to be looking at Starship Troopers, folks, so I hope you're geared up and ready for that. We are going to do our part, of course, for the mobile infantry, and get out there and, of course, enjoy Robert I. Heinlein's adaptation, or I should say, Wolf Verhoeven's adaptation of a Robert Heinlein novel. And we'll also be looking at Roughnecks as well after that too, which is kind of a continuation, if you like, in the same feel. Might not be the same exact series, but we'll get into that soon. All here, and of course, the Lethal Mullet. You'll be able to catch us on fpnet.podbean.com. Let's try that again, fpnet.podbean.com, where we celebrate the state or condition of being a fan or someone or something. Of course, you can catch me, Lethal Mullet, at the Lethal Mullet on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and any other social platform, pretty much. And of course, we'll catch you then, where we're going to be looking at those films. For now, go out, enjoy John Wick, folks. I hope you enjoy the sequel, the new one. And let us know if you want that.